the kill, and Warner wins the set. Fade away by Moores.
In Play with Craig Maddock, made possible by Horton in Britain, a worldwide supplier of engine cooling systems and proud member of the community for more than four decades. HortonWW.com. Welcome to another edition of In Play. I'm Craig Maddock. Today's guest qualified for the state wrestling tournament six times. He won three titles, helped his team win two team titles, and then he coached his alma mater and saw his son win three wrestling titles. His dad and brother were basketball players, but our guest today had no interest in basketball. He's the Vermilion Tanager, Hazen Bai. Hazen, welcome to In Play.
Thank you.
Did you give basketball at least a shot when you were a kid?
I played a lot in my backyard, but that's about it.
The late 70s and the early 80s, Vermilion's wrestling program was just one of the best in the state. Those teams were loaded with talent, and you were a big part of it. Now, you started wrestling as a seventh grader and made the varsity as a seventh grader. You know, kids today, they're as young as five. They're in AAU and wrestling and learning all the fundamentals, but you didn't do that, right?
No, I just did the basic AAU stuff, so didn't get to a lot of tournaments, but I guess that's about anything anybody was doing at that time in those years.
You must have been a quick learner, though, to the fundamentals of wrestling.
I didn't like to lose, maybe that's what it was. I don't know if it was a quick learner in the wrestling room, but I guess I survived and didn't like to lose, maybe. Maybe that's what it was.
How much time did you put into wrestling as a youngster? You know, maybe right before seventh grade.
Right before seventh grade, I wrestled since the age of five. But like I say, all we ever had was districts, regions, and states for AAU. So I didn't even have wrestling shoes back then. So I got my first pair of wrestling shoes when I made varsity in seventh grade.
But your dad and your brother were basketball players. When did they give acceptance for you being a wrestler?
Well, I'm assuming they did. They liked it, but they never did say it was okay. My parents were very good about anything I did. They always supported me, and they were just always there.
Yeah, so that's awesome.
Yep. My brother, we wrestled all the time in the living room, of course. Had a family and cousins, so just something we did a lot and horsed around.
So as an eighth grader, though, you eventually qualified for the State A wrestling tournament. How much better were you as an eighth grader that 1 year after you really got into it as a seventh grader?
Well, a lot of things helped there. Of course, I had a lot of good teammates that I wrestled in the wrestling room for a couple of years. So by the second year, I was definitely a lot better when you have other people that you wrestle every day, like a Tim Manning and a Craig Manning and all those people in the room. So definitely I got better just being in the room and hanging around them.
Eighth grader, 1979, the State A Wrestling Tournament is in Aberdeen. You qualified, but you didn't medal, but you made an impact right away on the first day of the state wrestling tournament. Tell me about that story.
Yeah, so 1979, I was a seventh grader at 98 pounds, made it to state, got fourth place in region, so I barely made it. Got to state in the first round. I'm assuming I wrestled Mark Crossman, the number one guy in the state from Stevens, and I ended up beating him 6-2. So and then after that, I lost, and that made Mark Crossman eliminated from the tournament because I didn't continue to win. So turned out good for the team score.
Kevin Gross of O'Gorman eventually won it at 98 that year.
That year, yes, yeah. I believe so. Yeah.
Now, Vermilion would go on to win their very first state wrestling title that year. Of course, you had Bob Hirsch and Mark Manning. They won titles. You had Craig Manning get a runner-up. You had Nick Carantinos and Greg Blanchard and Kevin Seibel getting top finishes. What? That's a pretty good team right there.
They were pretty good mentors, that's for sure. I grew up awful fast being a seventh grader.
Then you go into the following year. The A tournament is in Rapid City. It's 1980. Vermilion would finish third in the team standings. Was there anything different in that off season for you to prepare for that year?
A little bit, I guess. We, as a team, we kept on doing things in the summer. That's when we got introduced to like freestyle. Went to a lot of little tournaments and. The Iowa area on Saturdays. We did it as a group, had a lot of fun doing it, and just learned to love wrestling then.
Well, I mentioned Kevin Gross, who won the title at 98 the year before. You wrestle him in the finals in 1980 at 105. What do you remember from that match?
Well, I remember quite a few things because it wasn't the first time I wrestled him. First time I wrestled him, he pinned me in seventh grade. So... Then later at the Super Bowl Lincoln that year, I scored a point on him, and man, I thought I was the big deal. Then next time I wrestled him was at sectionals, and I ended up getting beat by him then. And then at state tournament again, I ended up wrestling him in the state finals. So it was a rematch of our sections.
Yeah, that year Vermilion would place third. Stevens won the team title that year, but those same guys that we mentioned, the Mannings and the Carantinos, those guys are still scoring points for Vermilion. And eventually, you guys just keep rolling. 1981, state wrestling tournament is in Watertown, and you move up to 126. That was a couple of weight divisions you had to move up. How much of a change was that for you?
Well, I think from going to 105 to 126 was probably good for me, so I didn't diet. But obviously, I didn't place as high as I wanted to on the podium. But, it was a good year. I had fun and didn't diet as much, put it that way.
You would finish fifth that year in state. You had Dale Westberg of Huron. He won it that year. You had Doug Hughes of Spearfish, Kelly Huther of Stevens, Kevin Hall from Lincoln. Yeah, you remember some of those guys?
Oh, yep. I remember all of them. So it's kind of fun to look back and remember the people that I wrestled. There's quite a few of them I'm pretty good friends with now.
Were you disappointed finishing fifth that year?
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely. But I didn't lose much. Too much over it. I kept on going. And like I say, when we got good teammates around, they picked us up and we kept on going.
Well, things would change a lot for the next 3 years for you. You would become one of the top wrestlers in the state. 1982, the State A Wrestling Tournament is in Huron. And you moved up another weight class to 132 and you win it all. You went up against Dennis Johnson of Rapid City Stevens. Had you faced him a few times during the season?
No, it was actually the first time I actually wrestled him. He was in the same weight class as I was at the Sioux Falls Lincoln tournament, but I believe he placed like fifth or sixth. So I never seen him till the finals.
Who gave you problems in 1982? Who were the ones that you barely got by?
Chris Rye from Brandon Valley.
What was it about Chris?
Well, he beat me in regions, so I didn't even win regions that year.
And he plays fourth in state overall.
Yeah, I think Dennis beat him, and so I never wrestled him in the finals, so I never even seen him again, but he was my last loss in high school career was Chris Rye.
When you look at the preparations, this is already your sophomore year, you win your first state title. How much time are you putting in at that time as a wrestler?
Well, like I say, we probably don't put in the time that my son put in, but we it was always on our mind. We were always, doing something. We all played football. We did other sports. We we were always doing something. Grew up in the farm. I was always doing something there, obviously, to get stronger, weight room. Probably when I got to start camps. We got sent to a few camps, but there wasn't that many available. So two or three in a year was about all we did.
You at this time, you're a sophomore. You've won your first state title. Who were some of the upperclassmen that you looked up to when it came to wrestling at Vermilion?
Well, I still had Tim Manning. We was probably young again at that time, and Kyle Seibel's in that class. So we spent a lot of time in the room together, wrestling each other. Chris Carantinos. Yep, there was a good little group of us there.
Going into the 1983 season, Vermilion, again, strong in the number of weight classes. Did you think that Vermilion could win another team title at state at that time?
Oh, yeah. We had some very promising people. We had some depth on the team. Yeah, we were looking good.
And you did. Not only did you win your second title, you moved up another weight class to 138. What was the discussion prior to that season about moving up another weight class?
Actually, I tried to move up a few more, but I couldn't make varsity, so I had to drop down. I went down to 145.
Well, who was preventing you from being on the varsity?
I don't know how to say that, but we had Tim Manning above me, then Kyle Seibel above him, and he come back from injury, so as a team, we decided to move down together. That's why I moved down and let Kyle Seibel back in the lineup.
I'm sure Kyle appreciated that.
Well, it made us a stronger team going to come to state.
Well, it may have been the strongest Vermilion team put together in a long time. You guys won state. I mean, it was not even close. You beat Mitchell by 32 points, but you look at all the guys that scored that year. You had Ryan Menard. He won at 105, and Tim Manning at 138. And then winning second, you had, what, Thad Manning and Kyle Seibel, Tom French, Mike Musser. How were you able to fit in all of that?
Well, I tell you what, we're still all friends, and it was, 12 weight classes, it was a little tougher to all fit in, but it seemed like we got along good, and we did what was best for the team.
You individually, you're at, 145?
Yes.
And then you took on Tom Roach for the finals. Yes. What was that state tournament like for you? Because you had won the title the year before.
Yeah, I didn't get too worried or stressed about a lot of things at that age. So it's probably a good thing that I didn't get too stressed or too worried. But turned out to be a good state tournament. Had Tom Roach obviously in the finals, which everything turned out good. So I was very thankful.
At the time, you're a junior. You've now won two titles. What was your signature move at that time as a junior?
A double leg and an inside cradle.
And who did you practice on to do that every day?
Everybody that I wrestled with. Double leg, it was coming.
Had you had any serious injuries prior to becoming, a senior at Vermilion?
None. None associated with wrestling. I did have a couple bruises and bumps and torn cartilage, but for the most part, I never really got hurt wrestling. It was always either football or something else.
What about football? What kind of success did you have as a football player at Vermilion?
We had a nice football team. I got to be All-State, which was great. Loved playing football. I don't know how you can at that age.
Well, late 70s, Gary Culver becomes the head coach of football there in Vermilion. What did he mean to you?
Everything. It's the same people I wrestled with. We played football together, so we just moved from one sport to the next sport. And the core athletes just stuck together the whole time. And inside the room, classroom, outside, we were always doing something.
And then, of course, in the wrestling room, Willie Seibel, Jerry Schleckaway. You know, they were the wrestling coaches. What did those two guys mean to you? What did you learn from them?
Well, quite a bit. I guess, I always listened to directions well, so I was always a young guy in the room. So I still do to this day. But that was it was good. Jerry was my seventh grade coach and Willie for the next 5 years. Then I had like Greg Erickson was assistant coach and Roger Heiriggs was assistant coach. So I had a lot of other great athletes in the room too that went through the program.
So you're a two-timer now. You've won two state wrestling championships, and now your senior year. The Tanagers still have a solid core back. The State A wrestling tournament is in Huron. Rapid City would win the team title, beating you out by only 5 points. But you win your third straight, and you move up another two weight divisions. But I understand 155 was probably the most fun that you had at that point.
Yep, I didn't cut much weight. The practice room was fun. Senior year, I really enjoyed it. Healthy, I was blessed.
You know, there's a lot of repetition when it comes to the fundamentals of wrestling. What kept you motivated going into your senior year, knowing you'd won two titles and were hopefully thinking you were going to win a third?
Yep, hopefully. It was a good year. I did dominate that year. I think I had 26 pins, one forfeit, and one bye, and I think there's one kid I didn't pin that year.
How ironic, at least one bye for Hazen bye. That's always good. But you had to beat Brian Hartwig of Watertown for the title. What kind of a match was that?
Well, it was good. I wrestled him at the Sioux Falls Lincoln tournament. So back then that was a pretty good sized tournament. About everybody was there. So it was a good warm up for state tournament. I beat him there. And of course in the finals, I got three single legs in about the first minute, and the coach threw the towel in, so we never really got to finish the match.
So that final match, you're all done as a high school wrestler at that moment. What are your feelings like, there at the State A tournament in Huron? I know the team would lose only by 5 points, but individually, your season and career is done. What were you thinking at the time?
Well, I was thinking about going eating, probably. I think that was an important thing to me for 6 years. Discipline, eating, discipline, everything, I guess. And still pretty disciplined person, actually. So enjoyed it a lot. It was a great state tournament. Turned out well for Vermillion, and I really enjoyed wrestling.
You had a career record of 137 wins, 30 losses. And when you look back to all those Vermillion wrestling teams that you were a part of, you had three titles. Mark Manning had three titles. Tim Manning had three titles, plus about eight other guys who placed. How much fun was the practices with the Mannings, specifically those guys in the wrestling room?
I'm assuming it was a little more intense than other rooms. We got to work and we got our work done in the room, and I don't believe we had not a lot of messing around. We got the work done.
And the motivating factor, who were some of the guys that motivated you, saying, I want to be like them or better than them?
Mark Manning, of course, was always up top.
Yeah.
Always leader.
Yeah.
But pretty much every one of those 1979 graduates were all successful, all moved on to do great things. Class of 79 for Vermillion was a very nice class for that.
Well, it's off to South Dakota State after you graduate. Why South Dakota State?
Mike Ingles come to the house numerous times, recruited me. Easy place to go, so that was the place to go, I guess.
Yeah, he was just starting the program at for the Jacks. Ralph Manning was the coach at South Dakota State prior to Mike, but Mike was able to convince you to go to SDSU. You know, 1987 was your best year. You know, finished sixth. You were an All-American. But what was the wrestling experience like for you at SDSU?
Very good. Once again, I've got a lot of teammates there that are very good, still friends with to this day. Pat Dorn and Kyle Jensen, we're still good friends. We hang out. It was, you know, a nice atmosphere at Brookings. It was tense with a Division One, where it was year-round. So it was a nice, easy atmosphere, and Coach Ingles was a great coach, good motivator.
You had only about, what, 2.5 years at SDSU? What was going on?
Yep, 2.5 years. Transferred, so I had to sit out a full year. Yeah, it was, that was one of them. I All-American 1 year, and then I did run into some knee injuries, and that's when I ended my career.
So the first serious injury with wrestling came once you were at South Dakota State.
Yeah, 1987, I think, the year I'd come All-American.
Mm.
First year as eligible.
Was it a specific match that it happened?
Oh, no, no. I had a couple tears in the knees, had a couple scopes done, and I just thought that was enough.
Well, they scoped the knee a lot different today than they did back in 1987, Hazen.
Yes, sir.
Well, you are at SDSU. Are you wanting to be a teacher at that time? Do you want to be a coach? Were those two things intertwined together when you were with
Yeah,
SDSU?
That's what I was going to school, be a physical education teacher and probably coach. And things changed at home. Got the opportunity to go home and farm, so that's what I ended up doing. I went back to Vermilion and started farming, so took over the family business.
So you did not get a job in the school district at all right away, did you?
No, I didn't. I went home, started working, and the position opened up at Vermilion High School as assistant, so I took that on, and a couple years later, I was the head coach. So, So I was working on the farm and then going in coaching in the afternoon.
So what were those first few years of coaching like? I mean, you're transitioning at one time from being a big-time wrestler to a coach. What was that transition like?
Yeah, it was a good experience for me. I learned a lot about how things worked in the classroom, and I did some student teaching, or substitute teaching, I should say, since I was employed by the school as a wrestling coach. So I actually got to go in and do some fill-in work for a few people, but you know, I was probably only 25 years old at the time, so I wasn't much older than some of the kids I was coaching, and I'm friends with them also still to this date. So it was a grown-up experience, I guess, as far as working in the classroom and coaching,
and then raising a family too.
Yeah, my wife helped pretty good with that, so it was everybody worked together. It was nice.
Well, the by name would continue on there in Vermilion. Your son eventually became a part of the wrestling program, and you had your cousin's son also on the team. What was it like with those two guys on the team?
Well, so I took a little break from coaching, but then when I come back and started coaching again, obviously we did a little more off-season wrestling than prior years. So we were pretty much all summer traveling somewhere to major tournaments, you know, wrestling in the room. We'd go up to Brookings for camps. We went everywhere. So a little different than when I wrestled. The boys did a little more. I'd say they had to work a little harder than I had to.
So Regan, your son, how many times was there conversations at home about certain wrestling moves or the attitude, the fundamentals of wrestling?
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough to be a dad and a coach. He probably got some, he probably didn't get as much love as mom wanted him to get from me, but it worked out okay.
Yeah, there's coaches who say that it's the most difficult thing they have to go through, coaching their son on the team. Overall, though, it worked out pretty well, but what kind of a challenge was it for you, Hazen?
It was a challenge. One of the bigger challenges was that Regan and Brett had to wrestle off. They both wanted to be at the same weight class, and they had to wrestle off, and Regan lost. So, guess what? He made the decision to go down a weight class, and that's when he got to be a state champ.
What kind of a coach were you?
Hands-on. Did a lot of wrestling. As a coach, it was hands-on. I didn't ask the kids to do anything that I wouldn't do as far as working out or getting up at 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. I was kind of a hands-on coach that way and didn't expect the kids to do something I wouldn't do.
Was there one thing in the coaching world that you were much different than, you know, Willie Seibel when he was your coach?
Yeah, I guess one of the philosophies, you want to get better, wrestle more. And like I say, we did it year round. We started doing, you know, lifting in the morning and second workouts in the morning. So like I say, they worked hard to get where they got, Brett and Regan and anybody these days. If they're winning these days, they're working hard.
Yeah. Well, Regan would be just like Dad. Regan would win 3 wrestling titles, and it was his sophomore, junior, and senior year. What were those special moments like when he was able to have his hand raised and win a state title and you're there on the sideline? What was that like?
It was awesome. It was the first one is obviously for me unexpected, but Regan, he was confident. We tried to give him confidence on and off the mat, and I think he was a smarter wrestler. He was more aware of what his opponents did. Just all around, probably when it come to wrestling, Regan off the mat and did his homework of kids he was wrestling. He was very good at that on his own.
Hayes, and you would coach Vermilion for 11 years, a couple of years sandwiched in there with Dakota Valley for a couple of years. What was that experience like?
No, it was very good. I got in a couple extra rooms. Dakota Valley is one of them with Ryan Minardi. I moved back from Arizona, and I was looking for something to do, and I went down there and started coaching with him. So reunited with him and coached. I actually got in some practices down in Mesa, Arizona, where Nick Carantinos was coaching. So it was fun to see other states, other towns, how they ran their practices and their programs, and I think it all around it made me a better coach.
Ah, I had forgotten that Carantinos went on to coach, but you think about it, all those guys that you wrestled with when you on that wrestling team, you know, Bob Hirsch, he went to Millbank and was at Watertown, and Kyle Seibel, he's been at Canton, and now Mark Manning, of course, the head coach at Nebraska. How wild is that?
Yeah, very wild. You know, and Nick down in Mesa at high school and in Arizona. Yeah, Tim Manning. I think he volunteered a little bit at high school in Minnesota where he's at. So, yeah, it's kind of fun to see everybody go on and do their thing and be successful.
You got out of coaching in 2015, but do you still stay in contact with all those guys?
Yes, for the most part, I do. Try to make as many duels as possible, state tournaments as possible. Yeah, for the most part, well, Facebook makes it a lot easier, but for the most part, we do stay in touch.
Well, Mark Manning probably has the biggest spotlight as a coach as he's with Nebraska. And what was it like for you to see your teammate go on to a pretty big spot there in wrestling?
Oh, it's awesome. Try to make it down there as much as possible to support him. I think he's doing a great job all around, classroom, wrestlers, everything. So obviously it's fun to see him be successful, but it's about the top you can get in the Big Ten.
You stepped away from coaching in 2015. What was the reason why?
Well, so I was never in the school system, so it was always a second job for me. So I owned a company with my sister, Dakota Realty in Vermilion, and pretty much had to get to work.
Well, you followed in your dad's footsteps.
Your dad, Gary,
he sold real estate, and he's an auctioneer, and that's what you're doing today.
Yep, I was just calculating. 42 years I've been auctioneering, so got a lot of charities, do a lot of land sales, do a little bit of everything. jack of all trades when it comes to that.
Yeah. What's a normal day like for you today?
So at Dakota Realty, we're pretty versatile. We got land sales, we got home sales, but we also do about 500 units of property management of college kids. So you never know what might happen in any given day.
Well, Hazen, you were inducted into the Vermilion Tanager Hall of Fame in 2016. What did that mean to you?
It was great. I got to go to a couple others and see some of my other teammates get introduced, and that was awesome. For me, I think it was awesome because my kids were older. They appreciated it. They supported me, and it just something that was we enjoyed as a family, and they got to see me in a different light than they usually see me.
I did some searching of wrestling records in South Dakota, specifically the individual titles here in South Dakota. You know, I may have missed someone, but at least those with multiple individual wrestling titles, there are only two father-son combinations who have won multiple wrestling titles in Class A. You and Regan, both, three titles. I mean, that's the most father-son duo in Class A. But I also found out that you got Boyce and Brent Voorhees out in Sturgis, along with their dad, Cooper, who wrestled at Rapid City Stevens. They had a couple of state titles. So you and Regan pretty much got some great history there.
Well, that's good to know. I don't know if I knew that statistic.
Well, then it's at least Class A. Class B, there's a lot more to go through.
Oh, yeah, I bet there is.
With the Class B wrestlers. But how special is it to you that you won three titles, but also your son was able to do the same thing?
Very special. Like you say, I guess not a lot of people have done it, so I guess it is more special than I thought it was. But we're good friends. I'd say we're best friends at this point. He looks up to me, and I look up to him, and we are happy with the way things turned out, and I guess the hard work paid off for him.
What's the biggest thing you're seeing in wrestling today in South Dakota? A lot of these kids, they're putting close to 50 matches every year. I don't think you ever wrestled 50 times in 1 year, did you, Hazen?
No. 32 is probably the most I got in 1 year, 32 matches. But the thing I see most is, and not just wrestling, but all sports, the kids are more well-rounded, educated, you know, more athletic, how to eat properly, all the above. I think the kids are so much more advanced than we used to be at when I wrestled in high school.
Last one for you, Hazen. Of those three state championships, was there one title that meant more to you than the others?
Maybe my sophomore year. I wasn't expected to win state title. I got beat a couple times that year, and I lost a lot of weight that year. So it was a tough year, long year, but it turned out well. So I'd say my sophomore year at 132 was my special one.
In Play with Craig Maddock is made possible by Horton in Britain, where smiling at work happens all the time. Apply now at HortonWW.com. If you like what you're hearing, please give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast. It helps us gain new listeners. This has been In Play with me, Craig Maddock. This is a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.